Banjo. Yes, the Henry Morgan Show with Arnold Stang, Bert Kelton, Art Carney, Milton Caden from the orchestra, the Billy Williams Quartet, and me, Ed Hurley. And here is the star of the Henry Morgan Show, standing on his favorite corner in front of the cigar store.
Good evening, anybody. Here's Morgan.
Page one, page two.
Are you skinny? Are you stupid? Are you despised by one and all? Then all the ads in the magazines mean you. I should prove this. Take this ad. Testimonial. Fella says, I was so skinny, I was ashamed to get into a bathing suit. I used to go swimming in my clothes. Coming home from Coney Island, I used to drip on people in the subway. I was so weak, my brother used to beat me up. Then I took the home bodybuilding course. Today, I have a terrific body. My brother can no longer beat me up. Now only my sister can beat me up. As an ad, here's another ad addressed to you. The Arthur Newman Dance Course. This is guaranteed to teach you the conga, the samba, the rumba, the Charleston, the Atchison, the Topeka, the Santa Fe. These lessons have pictures. They're illustrated, and they show you how to hold your partner's hand, how to hold your partner's waist, and how to hold your partner's head, depending on the kind of person you're dancing with. That's right after the dance. Here's a testimonial from a fellow. Fella says, this is in print in the magazine, says, I didn't know how to dance. I used to go to dances and sit in the check room and cry. Then he says, then I took the Arthur Newman dance course right in my own home. Every week, the mailman brought me another lesson. Today, I'm a sensational dancer. But the only one I can dance with is the mailman. Here's an ad that says, learn a foreign language. Speak Latin right in your own kitchen. Then when your wife tells you... then when your wife tells you that she wrecked your car, you simply turn to your wife and you say, why, you igitur stultus. Quick, sit, quantum, chevalet. Animus auroris bonum gear shift, you dope, you. If your wife is insulted by this, you just say to her, quid pro hoc divisa invictus porcelain. And then there's a... Oh, excuse me, here comes my friend Gerard, the nudnik. Hello, Gerard.
Hi.
Gee, I'm glad you weren't here before I was dying, but even you look kind of tired, Gerard. Where you been?
I was at the gym. Building up my dopey muscles.
Sounds pretty good. What gym?
Mulroney's Health Club.
Oh, I don't think I know it.
Oh, sure you do. You've seen the ads. Put your body in Mulroney's hands.
Mm-hmm. How'd you like it?
I hated it.
Why?
Mulroney's got such cold hands.
Oh, I know what you mean. You must mean he gave you a massage.
Yeah. They made me take off all my clothes and lay on a table. I was so embarrassed.
Embarrassed? Why?
Why? How often do you lay on a table and let a big fat bum hit you?
Well, that's what they always do when they give you a massage.
They do? Then I'm sorry.
Well, what are you sorry for?
Sorry I bit him.
You bit him?
In the leg.
Well, then you should be sorry.
Yeah, I broke a tooth.
Well, you shouldn't have bit him.
I shouldn't have took the massage.
Oh, a massage is great for you. That rubbing loosens all your muscles.
But he kept rubbing me in the head.
So?
He almost rubbed my glasses off.
You wore your glasses? Why didn't you take your glasses off?
Take them off, then I'd be altogether naked.
Well, figures. Is that all you did at the gym, get a massage?
No, then Sam, the instructor, made me get in a rowing machine.
So?
I got seasick.
Oh, the instructor was there. Didn't he do anything?
Yeah. While I was rowing,
mm-hmm.
He sat opposite me and played the ukulele.
Sounds a little old-fashioned. You know, you should spend at least half an hour with the rowing machine. Then a hat played the ukulele? Then you should spend... You should spend a half hour with the rowing machine, then a half hour on the parallel bar, see?
Without a pick, you know.
Naturally. The ukulele? Then you should spend a half hour on the lifting weights and a half hour on the wooden horses. That's what you should do.
Uh-huh, I'm laughing.
Believe me, if you did that, you'd walk out a new man.
A new man, huh?
Sure.
But the old man, they'd have to carry out.
See you around, Gerard.
Why?
I'll exercise my prerogative and get over to NBC before they exercise the option dropping. Taxi! Hey, taxi! Good evening, anybody. It's time now to present the athlete who, in our opinion, made the most impressive showing in his particular sport this week. Our man of the week for tonight is that great wrestling champion, Gorgeous Kearney. And here he is, Gorgeous Kearney. Gorgeous, most of the sports writers seem to agree that you are, without question, the most outstanding wrestler in the country today.
All right. Right, Mr. Morgan.
What did you say?
That's right, Mr. Morgan.
Yes. Well, tell me, what about your name? Isn't there another wrestler named Gorgeous, a Gorgeous George?
I was first.
Oh, you had the name first. Are you sure?
Sure, it's my real name.
Oh, well, I certainly won't argue that with you. Let's get on to some more important lowdown about you.
That's my mother.
What?
Ask my mother if my name isn't Gorgeous.
Oh.
Why'd she do it?
What?
I got a brother named Sam. Why'd she name me Gorgeous?
Well, I really don't know. But Gorgeous, or do you prefer if I call you Mr. Kearney?
Either way.
Good.
As long as you call me for breakfast.
Yeah. Well, Gorgeous, tell me, how do you manage to stay in such splendid condition?
Oh, sleeping. Working on the old barbell, drinking sauerkraut juice.
Yeah. Well, I'll bet your brother tries to follow your lead, doesn't he?
Oh, Sam?
Yeah.
Nah, he stays out late, drinks, leads a terrible life, and never know when he's getting home.
Yeah, well, I can imagine... Even so, I can imagine what your brother looks like compared to you.
Yeah, he's bigger than me.
Oh. Well, Gorgeous, here's something that a lot of wrestling fans are curious about, especially those who've seen it on television. Is wrestling really a fake?
No, I get paid.
Well, now, Gorgeous, when you, here's the thing. When you first come out of your corner, aren't there some tricks you use to frighten your opponent?
Well, yeah, like you make noises.
Noises? What sort of noises?
Oh, like I say, and then the other fellow says, ah, and then we both,
Yes.
Now, I would like to invite all the fans that should come and see me wrestle next Tuesday night there by the Edgewood Park Arena. My mother's going to be there. You know, the one who named me Gorgeous.
Oh, that's good, yeah.
She weighs 175. She's in a semifinal.
Well, and thank you, Gorgeous.
Yeah. You come on up too, Mr. Morgan, and watch how I...
Yes, I will. Yes. Thank you again. Thank you again. The Billy Williams Quartet greets the month of April with If I'd Have Known You Were Coming, I'd Have Baked a Cake.
Hello, all right, hi. Hello, fella. How you doing there?
Pretty good.
Did you go to church today?
You know I did. I always
excellent. If I'd known you were coming, I'd have gone the other way. But pardon me, look. Really, seriously, if I'd known you were coming out of Big Ship. Oh, say, a nice goose?
No, no goose. No, oh, no goose.
Oh,
like
come on.
Owl.
I said a nice goose?
No, you mean goose loose?
Well, that's something like it. Here we go, something like this, huh?
If we knew you were coming out of Big Ship. If we knew you were coming in a Big Ship. I want you to do. Drop the soletto, we'd a high a band, yes. The grandest band, yes. In the land. Had you drop the soletto, we'd a high a band, and we'd spread the welcome mat for you. Well, I don't know where you came from, cause I don't know where you've been, but it really doesn't matter.
Grab a chair and do your better.
And dig right in. If we knew you were coming, we'd have baked a cake, a high a band. For goodness sake, if we knew you were coming, we'd have baked a cake. How'd you do?
Oh, well, look who's here. It's Jackson Bear.
Were you coming in to see you?
Oh, well, hello there.
If we knew you were coming, well, we'd have baked a cake. If we knew you were coming, how'd you do? Had you dropped?
Now we don't know where you came from, cause we don't know where you've been.
But it really doesn't matter, grab a chair and do your platter, and I dig right in. If we knew you were coming, well, we'd have baked a cake, we'd have had a band. If we knew you were coming, we'd have baked a cake. How'd you do?
How do you do? You know, European visitors here are often puzzled by the way Americans carry on conversations. Because when Europeans are learning English from a foreign textbook, they get their own impression of how the English language is used here. So here is chapter 3 in our series of how we guess that Frenchmen assume two Americans speak to each other.
How do you do, sir or madam, as the case may be?
Good morning.
At last, I see you again.
Is it possible that you do not remember me?
It is desirable.
You are familiar. You are unfamiliar. You are strange. I know you little. Are you the conductor?
I am the conductor. He is the conductor. You are the conductor.
I am going to a watering resort.
Where is your ticket?
I have it. I have forgotten it. I have lost it. I have heard of it. What was the question?
I have forgotten it.
I have a sister.
I did not ask you.
Felice is a sister to me.
How goes it with you, Felice?
I am not Felice. I am Marguerite.
Where, then, is Felice?
She is playing with the conductor.
Which one is Felice?
She has a large portmanteau. Of what destination is this train?
New York, New Jersey, Bermuda, Sicily, Holland, South Africa. You are pale.
Thank you. The fever has diminished.
How long have you lain in this bed?
I have lain in this bed 1 week, 1 month, 1 year, 5 years, 10 years. I am sick.
Is dead.
How went it with your uncle?
He withdrew from life. He expired. He died. He suffered. I am mad at you. what reason?
You drive too quickly. Is this the automobile of the family?
It is the taxi.
May I press the horn?
You may turn on the lights, turn off the lights, press the horn.
Thank you.
Which is the battery?
The battery has expired. It withdrew from life. It died. It suffered.
Where is the portmanteau of police?
The conductor is sitting on it.
The man who stands with him has a large, unattractive head.
The man who stands with him is my father.
I am pale. I have a headache, a toothache, a swelling, a nosebleed. Will you kiss me goodbye?
No, you have a fever.
Goodbye, ladies and gentlemen.
Goodbye, sir or madam. That so is Arthur Kearney. Milton Kadams now has a Bernie Green's arrangement of the Dance of the Hours, which is a concerto for bells and alarm clocks featuring our sound effects virtuoso, Mr. Al Finelli. Day, a library sent me a list of the world's greatest books. And it occurred to me that everybody knows the names of these books and nobody ever reads them. You know, like nowadays, who reads Ben-Hur or Tess of the D'Urbervilles? Who's interested in Little Women? Only little men. So I figured before everybody forgets what these great books were about, as a public service, we present...
Great books that everyone owns, but nobody reads. Tonight's classic, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, by Robert Louis Stevenson. Chapter 1.
My name is Dr. Henry Jekyll of London. I am a noted physician and a prominent East End surgeon. Sometimes
I operate on the West End, too. At the time of this story, I was trying to perfect a new miracle drug. This drug would produce a thick growth of hair on the feet, thus eliminating the necessity for socks. One day, I was working in my laboratory with my assistant, Poole, and I felt I was on the verge of success. Poole, hand me one grain of bichloride of mercury.
Yes, sir.
6 drops of potassium phosphate. Thank you. 1 ounce of sulfate ammonia.
Here you are, sir.
2.5 grams of that blue stuff, whatever it is. Good, good. Egad, Poole, listen to it fizz. I seem to have put in too much of the blue stuff, perhaps. If I add some of that yellow stuff to the blue stuff like this. Egad, Poole. Look what I've created.
What?
Green stuff. This is it. My own discovery. I shall call it Dr. Jekyll's Asparagus Tonic.
With a name like that, it will never sell.
You're right. I'll call it Dr. Jekyll's Celery Tonic. Now I'll test it on myself. I, Dr. Henry Jekyll, am going to take my first drink of Dr. Jekyll's Celery Tonic.
Doctor, what's the matter? Doctor, you're changing. Something's happening. You're shrinking. Look in the mirror. You look horrible. Your nose, your eyes, your mouth. Doctor, what's happened to you? How do you feel?
Oh, I'm dying.
You sound so different. Terrible. And look at you. You look like a real monster.
So what are you staring at? You never seen a monster before?
But you're not Dr. Jekyll. Who are you? I demand to know, who are you?
Drop dead, that's who I am.
That horrible creature, that ugly thing with a strange voice, was my other self. I called him Mr. Hyde. Every time I drank that terrible green stuff, I became Mr. Hyde. And the worst of it was I developed a horrible craving for it. One evening, I had an appointment with my fiancée, Lady Margaret Peabody. We were strolling through the park, and I said, Lady Margaret, my dear.
Yes, Henry.
Lady Margaret, my love, I have something dreadful to tell you.
That's nice.
It's about me, Lady Margaret. Something dreadful has happened to me.
That's nice.
I am not really what you think I am, Lady Margaret.
Oh? That's nice.
You don't understand. I can't explain it. I must show you. Pardon me. I'm going to drink some of this green stuff. I'll be right back.
Hiya, sister. I'm Mr. Hyde.
That's nice.
Come here, honey. Let me bite you in the neck.
That's nice.
You're for me, Maggie. You know what I mean? Let me bite you in the neck. That's the first time I ever done that.
No, that's twice.
Well, I'm nuts for you. I think I'll break your arm.
Really?
Yeah, but later. Right now, I gotta be going. I gotta take a drink.
Well, Lady Margaret, now you know everything, the whole horrible truth. Before I leave you forever, is there anything you want to ask?
Yes.
What?
Where is your little friend?
And so, I lost Margaret. I lost dear, stupid, rich Margaret. And things kept getting worse. I turned into Mr. Hyde more and more frequently. Until finally, Mr. Hyde could appear without my drinking any of the green stuff. One awful day, after having committed a terrible crime, Mr. Hyde tried to save his hide by hiding in Hyde Park. I mean, I did. I tried to save Mr. Hyde's hide by hiding in Hyde... I mean, by parking his hide in Hyde... I'm going mad, do you hear? Mad! That night... just as I was turning into Mr. Hyde, Inspector Utterly of Scotland Yard came to see me.
How do you do, Dr. Jekyll? How'd you do?
Why, Dr. Jekyll, you look so pale and sick. Is there anything wrong?
Wrong? Why should anything be wrong? I find that suggestion most amusing. Most amusing!
Well, I'm glad to see you're happy. You seem to be turning ugly and you're shrinking.
And why not? A man has a right to shrink in his own home. After all, this is England.
Quite right. Doctor, I've come to discuss something most unpleasant. A monstrous-looking, dangerous criminal was seen entering your house today.
Here, in this house?
Impossible.
What?
Pardon me. Excuse me. What were you saying, Mr. Utterly?
Well, this dreadful man committed a murder this afternoon in Hyde Park.
A murder in broad daylight in the midst of Hyde Park in front of all those people?
You're kidding.
What?
Excuse me. Excuse me.
Who was that? Who was just talking?
It's me. It's I. You see, my voice is changing a bit late in life. My voice has changed, that is, down by the old mill.
Street.
Excuse me. Please, Inspector, I'm quite busy at the moment. I know nothing of this villain whom you're seeking. I would suggest you pursue your inquiries elsewhere. And I would suggest further that you...
Scram, you bum.
I knew I was in danger. I saw the look on Inspector Utterly's face. And I conjectured that even though I was respected, the inspector suspected and I reflected that I'd be subjected to... I mean, even though I was respected, the inspector reflected and detected...
I'm going mad, do you hear?
I resolved once and for all to have it out with my alter ego, Mr. Hyde. So that night, I locked myself in my room and I said, Mr. Hyde, I want to have a man-to-man talk with you.
What's up, Doc?
Your iniquities have pervaded my very existence, and I demand that your bestial, grotesque ego depart from my being.
What'd he say? What'd he say?
You understand me? If you remain, I shall destroy both of us. Will you still stay?
Yes.
No.
I tell him yes, he tells me no.
Very well, I cannot live this way with you. You monster, you fiend. You've insisted on being part of me, and now we shall perish together.
Pish.
Don't believe me, eh? Perhaps you'll believe this. Now, what do you say?
Oh, you got blood over everything. Yeah.
These are your last moments. I mean, mine. The life is ebbing out of my body. I mean, ours. You've ruined my existence. Ours, that is. I have revenged you. I mean, me. Us. And so I say to you, I say to me, we say to us...
Dr. Jekyll.
Yes, Mr. Hyde?
Let's die already.
This has been the strange case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. This is the Henry Morgan Show with Arnold Stang, Fred Kelton, Art Carney, the Billy Williams Quartet, Milk Tatum's Orchestra. Morgan himself will be back in the spot in front of the cigar store next week at the same time. The Henry Morgan Show is produced by Kenneth McGregor, and Hurley is speaking. Good night, everyone.
The Henry Morgan Show came to Canadian listeners as an international exchange feature through NBC, the National Broadcasting Company. This is the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation.